Today's message is a very important message for each of us. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title for our message today? Pardon Me, based on Romans 8, verse 1, which says, "There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I invite you especially today to follow your sermon outline provided for you in your handout as we consider our theme, Pardon Me. Pardon me. It's a common expression we hear quite frequently. Pardon me, we say when we bump into somebody in a crowded room. Pardon me, we say when we want to get somebody's attention. And as Luke reminded us this morning, pardon me is something a child says when he burps out loud in a restaurant. But a pardon is also a legal act of a government or a court that negates legal punishment. On January 21st, 1977, the newly inaugurated U.S. president, on his first day of office, Jimmy Carter, granted an official pardon to 594 draft dodgers, young men who fled America, came to Canada to evade being inducted into the Vietnam War. And the British monarchy, by history tells us, for centuries granted legal pardons as an official act of the Queen's mercy all throughout the kingdom. A pardon is this, and I'll say it two times. A pardon is a gift of undeserved mercy instead of deserved justice. One more time. A pardon is a gift of undeserved mercy instead of deserved justice. Today, let's talk about a pardon from God. It's a wonderful pardon for sinners like us. Romans 8, 1 says, and this verse also is in my funeral service. I've already planned it. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." People who are in Christ Jesus, by a humble faith in Him, are not condemned. They do not get what their sins deserve. My friends, you are not condemned. You will not get what your sins deserved. We are pardoned. Every legal pardon has along with it a list of benefits. And so it is with God's pardon. But before we see the amazing biblical list of the benefits of God's pardon, let's ask the question, how do we get this pardon? Romans 5, verses 6 to 8 tells us clearly. Listen to this beautiful passage of Scripture. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone may possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There you have it. Our pardon from sin's consequences. Our pardon from God's almighty wrath. Our pardon from the power of sin, death, and devil, our pardon from hell's eternity is only possible because of what Jesus Christ has done for sinners like us on that cross. Now, what did He do there? St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 that Jesus' death as a payment for our sins, do you remember the text? It's God's demonstration of His love for sinners like us. Let me ask you, Carol. Let me ask you, Henry. Let me ask you, Robert. Let me ask you, Ian. Pick an Ian, any Ian. We have three. How do you know God loves you. I ask the rest of you, how do you know God loves you? Look to that cross, won't you? Look to that cross. Your sins were nailed to that cross as Jesus was nailed to that cross. Your pardon was won as He rose in victory over death for you. And now the benefits of your pardon? Well, let's listen to a list of benefits. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10, we are justified by His blood, saved from God's wrath. Romans 5:11, we have now received reconciliation. Wow, did you catch that list? One, you have peace with God. Two, you are justified. That is, in God's heavenly court, you're considered not guilty. Three, you are saved from the wrath of God at judgment day. Four, you are reconciled. That is, every barrier between you and God has been taken away. And this is only a partial list of the benefits because of the pardon you have been given. Can you see how wonderful this pardon is for sinners like us? It's wonderful because if we're honest with ourselves, and hopefully we were at the time of the confession of sins, if we're honest with ourselves, we must confess, each one of us, I am a sinner. Romans 3:10 tells us there is not one righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 tells us, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 declares, for the wages of sin is death. Yet sadly today, there are some people who don't think they need God's pardon. They don't want to admit they have done much wrong in their lives. They hope Almighty God will just wink at the bad things they've done. They feel no need for that cross-bought pardon and hope beyond hope that the good things they've done will somehow buy God off and earn His favor. You know, a man no less than Saint Paul, one time in his life, thought the same way. Listen to Paul's lists of reasons. Listen now to his bragging lists. Why, once he thought himself as a pretty good guy who needed no pardon. We find this bragging list in Philippians 3. Paul wrote, though I myself thought I had reasons for confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in his flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. But then Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, came face to face with his own sin. Face to face with Almighty God. Face to face with His need for a Savior. Face to face with Jesus on that Damascus road. And listen to the verses now that Paul writes right after his bragging list. Listen carefully. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider as loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul says, now take note, this is Paul speaking. Paul says, all that he was, all that he had as a powerful, successful, wealthy, famous man in Judaism was nothing compared to what he had in Christ Jesus his Savior. Paul here says, my former bragging list is just a pile of rubbish, garbage. Actually, what Paul said is quite more graphic than that. The original word he used for rubbish in Chinese was fen tuo. In English, it's manure. A pile of manure, a pile of animal poo. Paul says, compared to his riches in Christ Jesus, all his earthly riches are manure. The pardon for sins Paul has in Jesus, Paul says here, is his most valuable possession. This Friday, we're committing into God's hands Freda Addison. That's her pew right there, right next to where Ian and Suzanne are sitting. This week also, we're laying to rest the father of Michael and Lily's son. Pastor Chung is handling that service. It takes a memorial service and a funeral service to help us realize with Paul what really is our most valuable possession. Let me ask you this morning, what is your most valuable possession? Take a moment just to think about it. What is your most valuable possession? As nice as it may be, Paul says that compared to the pardon for our sins we have in Jesus Christ, whatever you've named is really a pile of manure. And my friends, there is much more to God's pardon than us just receiving it, as wonderful as that is. For we also are to give away this pardon and forgiveness to others. Scripture tells us we love because He loved us first. We forgive because He forgave us first. I've seen this so many times over the many years of being a pastor. How sad it is when some people will simply not pardon others. When they hold on to a grudge, will not forgive, will not pardon for years and years. The sad truth is this: not forgiving, not pardoning others poisons the soul of the person who withholds the pardon. Let me ask you, how is your soul doing in this regard today? We are called by God to pardon others. Forgiven, we forgive. Pardoned, we pardon. And the clearest passage in the entire New Testament on this is this. It's in your outline, Ephesians 4:32. Listen carefully to this verse. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ Jesus God forgave you. And the good news is this: we do not love and forgive others on our own. In fact, we cannot do it on our own. But the resurrected Jesus, by the power of His Holy Spirit, lives in the heart of every believer. Paul knew this very thing when he said these words, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And there is one book in the Bible, the book in the Bible that calls God's people especially to pass along the pardon we've already received. It's the book of Philemon. I encourage you today especially, take this sermon outline home with you as a reminder to go home and soon read the book of Philemon. It's the shortest book of the Bible. This 25 verse book, one chapter, you can read it in 3 minutes. Paul writes to a rich believer named Philemon, and he asks him to grant a pardon to his runaway slave named Onesimus. Now, Roman law said that a Roman slave caught running away should suffer the death penalty. But Paul asked wealthy Philemon to grant the legal pardon that would save this slave's life. What is Paul's reason for this unheard of action? Just this. The pardon and forgiveness Philemon himself has already received in Christ Jesus, his Lord. In writing this brief but powerful book, Paul reminds Philemon. Paul reminds the early church of the first century. Paul reminds us today that because we are pardoned, we pardon. Forgiven, we forgive. And let me let you in on a little secret that I hope it's not much of a secret. The church of today is to be a pardon place. God calls us, his church today, to be a people and a place of pardon. And God's pardon for each of us sinners is only found at the foot of the cross of Jesus our Lord. At the foot of Jesus' cross, all of our own personal pride and personal self-righteousness melts away. We humbly say then with the writer of the hymn, Rock of Ages, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Now today we've seen that we have a pardon from God. And this is a pardon we are now to share with others. And now just one last point, point three. My friends, we have a pardon to give to ourselves. I'm talking about you pardoning yourself. You forgiving yourself for past sins and mistakes. Because of Jesus' blood-bought pardon for you, you are free to forgive yourself. Now this morning, only you and the Lord knows what might be on your heart. But today, my beloved, please today receive from God his personal gift to you. It's a promise spoken in Romans 8, verse 1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My friends, do you hear him? Listen carefully with the ears of your heart. Your Lord Jesus says to you this very moment, I have set you free from any self-made prison of internal conflict. Please accept the pardon I have already granted you. There is no need any longer to live in your own self-made prison. In conclusion, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard of the name of a Japanese man whose name is Hiro Onoda? Everett has heard of him. Let me tell you about Hiro Onoda. He was a Japanese soldier living all alone for 30 years in his own self-made prison. He was a soldier in World War II that ended in 1945. But in 1974, Hiro Onoda was the last Japanese soldier in World War II to surrender. He had been left on an island in the Philippines in 1944 with these orders, I quote, to carry on the mission even if Japan surrenders. And he continued his war alone. He lived in a smelly little cave. He came out only at night to raid people's vegetables gardens. He is responsible for killing 30 people on these 30-year nightly raids. He was often sick, hungry, dirty, smelly, and so very, very lonely. Even after thousands of leaflets were dropped from American airplanes announcing the war was over, Hiro Onoda would not give up. He would not surrender. He stayed in his self-made prison for 30 years. It's estimated that 13,000 men and $500,000 were spent just trying to locate him and get him to surrender. Finally, in 1974, Hiro Onoda surrendered his sword to Philippine President Marcos. And Marcos granted him a pardon. And when asked about his 30-year self-imprisonment, all Hiro Inada said were these terrible, sad words. I quote, "Nothing pleasant happened to me in the 30 years I was alone in the jungle." My friends, like Hiro Inada, nothing pleasant happens when the battle of unforgiveness continues to rage in your soul. Nothing pleasant happens when you will not receive and then fully give away the pardon God has won for you. My friends, I can tell you're listening this morning. My friends, in Jesus Christ, let me assure you, forgiveness is yours. The pardon is yours. Lay down your sword so that your hands are free to receive God's pardon for you. Today, please receive this promise from your Lord to you. This promise He gives to you in Psalm 103, verse 12. Listen to these words. God says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Today, you can take hold of God's wonderful pardon for you. Today, you can know for sure the absolute truth of Romans 8, verse 1. "There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Jesus is the Lord of your unchangeable past, and He is the Lord of your unpredictable future. Pardon me? Pardon you? Yes, God has. In the name of Jesus. Amen.